there, it's Tracy Tully, and you're listening to Tracy Tully Talks at bbsradio.com, the place to be right now, streaming live with another 60 minutes of thought-provoking topics, sharing with you conversations that are relevant today, tomorrow, and in the future. Join me each week on Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Australian time, AEST, 5 p.m. Wednesday PT, hello Los Angeles. If you missed the live show, jump onto your favorite podcasting platform and you'll find me on Tracy Tully Talks. We do have some adult language, so if you have some little ones around, pop on your earphones. Hello to all our listeners today and welcome back to Tracy Tully Talks, another hour of inspiring chat. And my guest today is Mandy Spooner, and Mandy is all the way from Queensland in Australia. Hello, Mandy, how are you?
I am very well. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. It looks like it's cooler here than where you are at on the sunny coast. So for our clients, I'd just like to let everyone know what Mandy does. So Mandy helps families create healthy, low tox and eco-friendly lifestyles. So tell us, Mandy, tell me a little bit about your business.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. I'm really honoured to be here today. As you said, I live on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, and I feel actually really blessed that my business that I have really is who I am as a person. So I'm really passionate about health, low-tox living, and contributing to an eco-friendly planet. So my business is actually a product that actually like really helps me do that much easier, and I love that I get to help other families do that as well.
It's a big genre. It's a very big area for people these days, isn't it? And as it should be too, and helping those families, support them. But what? Tell me about the journey that that brought you to us here today. What? Who is the woman behind Mandy Spooner, the business?
I love that question. So I am a mum of two gorgeous boys and two busy dogs, and I have one husband, which is enough. And I've always been I've always been healthy, and actually we touched on this. Like, I'm really in tune with my body, which is really good, and my body's really good at telling me what it doesn't want and what I'm having too much of. So I've always been healthy, but don't get me wrong, like I love pizza and champagne and chips and all that sort of stuff, but it really needs to be a moderation thing for me, who's an all or nothing personality. So health has always been a really big passion of mine. I've always been just this massive water drinker, like just always, like I'm never without water. And then my eco-friendly journey started about 4 years ago, and it was actually with Sarah Wilson that I quit sugar, Sarah Wilson. And I was reading a blog article where she said that, and I'm saying it that way because I was really surprised that takeaway coffee cups aren't recyclable. Mm. And I remember reading the article thinking, no, that's not true. That's not true. That we're led to believe that they are. So that led me down the like Googling, and then I really started really working on my on being eco-friendly. And I really started posting and just, I guess, educating people and then letting them know other things that they could use instead. And I watched that knock-on effect, which was like so heartwarming. It really filled me. It was just amazing. And then I was introduced to this, my business, which is an ionizing machine. And it encompasses everything. So as I said, it's health. So the water is ionized. So it's super hydrating, antioxidant rich and alkalized. So really incredible drinking water. But then what it also does, which really fits in with my eco-friendly side, and this was, I'm going to say, what sold me on the machine. Like I'm really passionate about health and water. So that was like a no-brainer. But then when I found out that I was able to use the other pH waters to replace many products in my home, I was like, I'm sold. Like, I'm in, just take my money. And because what the other pH waters I can use, like literally I just press a button and I can get pH 6, and I use that as my skin toner. I use it as my floor cleaner, my glass cleaner, like eyeglass cleaner. Like I can press 2.5 and I can use it as my spray and wipe. I can clean my toilets with it. I can use it to remove cold sores. The list goes on. So for me, that was really important because then I wasn't buying products and therefore wasn't buying packaging. And I'm very anti plastic bottles, both drinking water and plastic bottles in our environment. So that was like a really big win for me. And then, of course, by using the waters and not buying other products, I'm using water and there are no toxins in it. So it really made that journey really easy for me because it's quite an overwhelming journey to reduce toxins in your home and to reduce plastics as well. So this one machine really, I'm trying to think of the word, like, move me forward really quickly because it was like, wow, like you just do all the thinking and all the work for me. And then it allows me time to then the things that it can't do, like perfumes and obviously other things, then that gives me time to be able to research that. So, did that answer your question? Did I just go off on a tangent there?
No. And the beauty of these talks too with me every Thursday is they're conversational. So the beauty is they take us to where the conversation goes, and that's what it should be about. That's what I'm about. So, yes, these waters have propelled you forward and helped you with lots of other areas. Now tell me, is this the Kangen machine that you're talking about?
Yes, it is, yeah.
So I'm really interested because you talked about the pH level, and obviously that speaks volumes, doesn't it? The pH level has a lot to do. You know, as a hairdresser, we know all about the pH level in our hair. In terms of colonoscopies and in terms of cancers, that the pH has a huge influence. Yeah. So tell us more about these machines now. Where you get them from? How big they are? How do you buy the water, or is it just your water from your tap that goes through a system in the machine?
Great question. They're awesome questions. And so the machine is a freestanding unit. So it literally, I don't have the dimensions actually, but like it's literally like a, I'm going to say a box. Obviously boxes are different sizes, but it sits on my sink, like next to my tap. You can have it in your laundry or your pantry or whatever. I mean, it weighs like 5 kilos. I know that, but I don't know the dimensions, but I keep like doing this. I mean, it's not like a big machine at all. Yeah. And actually, so it connects to your tap. So your tap water, it literally connects. So you don't need a plumber to connect it. You just connect it to your tap. Mm-hmm. And then your tap water runs through the machine. So the machine is in two parts, I guess. It is a filter. So it will filter your water. Mm-hmm. And then it ionizes your water. And that's when it goes over, in this particular model, titanium plates, which are dipped in medical grade platinum. So this machine, the Kangen machine, is actually from Japan. It's from a company called Enagic. They've been around for 46 years. They originally started in hospitals. So their machines in Japan are medical grade devices. They're not here in a medical grade device in Australia. So they're from Japan, as I said, 46-year-old company, which speaks volumes in itself. So the water is ionized. So it goes over these titanium plates and it's like, the process is called electrolysis. So it's electrically charged. And then what it does is it splits the water into acidic and alkaline. And that gives you pH from 2.5 up to 11.5. So you would drink the 8.5 and 9.5, and then you would use the other pHs for other things around the home or on your body. It blows my mind.
It's interesting because a good part of my life has been in the bush, and obviously water, especially in some of the places I've lived, the bore water has a lot of sulfur that comes with it. Have you had anything to do with that or read anything about what those sorts of effects on a machine like this?
Yeah, do you know what? I haven't actually had any. I've got a lot of, haven't had any clients with bore water, but I do have a lot of clients with tank water and then tap water. And as we know, not all water is created equal. So that a lot of the tank water is actually, and I don't think a lot of people drink tank water. It's generally about a 4 to 6 pH. I haven't tested any tank water that isn't acidic. So obviously on the pH scale, 7 is neutral, anything under is acidic, and anything over 7 is alkaline. And so we would definitely even recommend having a pre-filter even yes. before you got to the Kangen. So the better the water going into the Kangen, the better the water that will come out of the Kangen.
Well, that would make a lot of sense then, and that would collect the sulfur. So tell me, is there any ability to clean those plates?
Ourselves?
Yes.
What we do is with the machine, so the machines are designed to last 15 plus years.
Yes.
And what we do is we look after them. So every 2 to 4 weeks, we run what's called an e-clean, which is a really simple set it up and it literally does it itself. So you just set it up and it cleans itself. But then as long as you're doing that, every 2 years, you would send it to your local Enagic office, and mine's in Sydney, and they do what they call a deep clean. So I had mine deep cleaned last year. They charge like $44, like Aussie dollars, and they take it apart and they check that everything is okay. So I got mine back and I actually felt like I had a new machine. So looking after the machine is really important. It's like anything, isn't it, Tracy? Our bodies, our cars, all that sort of stuff. If you don't look after it, then they're not going to work.
Absolutely right. And it's interesting that you said that, because that's a really good piece of information for people to know, that there's maintenance units or departments nearby that they can go to, especially these days when now we're bringing products in from overseas. We've got COVID and there's all sorts of extra little issues that are occurring. It's nice to know that, yes, there are these departments based all over the world, I'm assuming, and that so it's easy access for maintenance, and everyone is trying to process their water to make it cleaner, and that's really, really important for all of us to make sure that we get lots of healthy, clean water all the time. And now I'm interested also in our previous conversations about some of the things that you've done in terms of dropping things in your life. So for me, I had to eliminate coffee out of my life totally when I made the decision to give up smoking a couple of decades ago. So you mentioned that you quit sugar at one stage, and so you were following Sarah Wilson. Can you tell me about that journey when you quit sugar?
Well, unfortunately, I haven't quit sugar, actually. I quit alcohol. Well, I did no alcohol for a year, and then I've done my no chocolate for a year. So I guess, I love Sarah Wilson, and I would actually love to one day quit processed sugar. Haven't quite got there yet, but I did do a year off alcohol, which actually ended up being 16 months, and then I did a year off chocolate as well.
Oh, so tell me... tell me why you took a year off alcohol. What was the incentive there for you to do that?
Well, it was actually, I touched on it before, my body. I always say that my body was telling me to stop, and I wasn't listening at first, and then it was like, no, you really need to stop. But I'm an all or nothing personality, so I'm really good at all and I'm really good at nothing. So I literally wouldn't drink during the week, never have, just wasn't one of those things that I did, but just not for any reason, just didn't. But however, then at the weekend, like it would be like, oh, just one more. And so Saturday, like not necessarily Friday, because I'd always gym on a Saturday, but Saturday, Sunday, I'd love like nothing more than a glass of bubbles and put some music on, and I'm the happy dancing, love you drunk and stuff like that. But I guess as I was getting older and in menopause, my body wasn't coping so well. So I was finding that even after 2 glasses, I was awful the next day. I was cranky, I was tired, and it was taking me until Wednesday to feel better even after 2 or 3 glasses. And that was definitely my body saying, like, just stop. And then it just became this, like, vicious circle. And I'm a really naturally positive person, which I'm very blessed about. But I was actually finding I was getting quite low. And I was like, okay, I need to do something about this. And being all or nothing, it was like, right, I'm off for a year. I put it on Facebook because I love the accountability. That was really good to do that. But funny enough, during my year off alcohol, which I actually found quite, I'm going to say easy, because I was really ready. Because I knew that no amount of willpower would get me through taking a year off alcohol. I had to be really, really ready to do that. So I actually found the year fairly easy. But what I did is I replaced alcohol with chocolate.
Oh, I love it.
And honestly, because when I then decided to take a year off chocolate. So I literally just finished a week ago last Thursday and I had a caramel slice, which I'm obsessed with, and it was so good. But what I did, obviously, being my personality, in my year off chocolate, I replaced chocolate with crisps, is what we would call them in the UK, but chips. So now I'm doing a year off crisps. But I'm very proud of myself that it's now the 25th of February and I've been off crisps since the 1st of January and I've not replaced it with anything. So I've made a really big effort to not do that, because I really don't want to take another year off something.
Well, I was going to ask you, are you a Gemini?
I am actually a Virgo.
Virgo. Ah, all right. So coming back to talking about a year off alcohol, it's interesting. My mother is 90 years old and she's has a lot of pain medication, and she takes has a glass of tonic water every night and quinine tablets, and the quinine tablets are making her quite ill. Anyway, the doctor, the specialist, said to her, "So, Joy, have you ever considered having a gin and tonic each night?" She said, Oh no, my father said never, never, women should never drink gin. And he said, "Well, you know, that was a long time ago. Perhaps you might like to try it now." And I just loved the whole conversation that he had with her about drinking gin and her aversion to just the thought about it. So off she went to the shop and she bought herself a little bottle of gin, and she has a gin and tonic at night. And I said to her, how do you find it? And she said, "Well, the taste is really weird. It's really sweet, but I'm actually enjoying that one glass of gin and tonic each night." And I think that's a funny story, but it's also a good story, because tonic water is good for us. And the older we get, and obviously she has restless legs, when you get cramps in your legs, it's really important. So as you're saying, you're identifying things like the alcohol would be drying on your skin. It makes you very dehydrated, makes you a little bit fuzzy in the brain. There's all sorts of after effects. And the older we get, obviously, the longer it takes to pull through from drinking any sort of alcohol. The interest for me then is you've swapped from alcohol to chocolate. And that is something I could never give up, would never. It would be non-negotiable for me to give up chocolate. It is my only sin, so to speak, the only thing I have left in my life that is a luxury. So it's interesting that you say you've given up chocolate. Do you recommend giving up chocolate?
Do you know what? It was actually really good. And it's so funny you say that, Tracy, because so many people said to me, they're like, "Mandy, I get alcohol. I do not get chocolate. Like, what are you thinking? Like, what are you doing?" But honestly, I got quite bad where it was like, I'll go supermarket shopping, I'll go to Coles, and then I would literally eat a pack of biscuits while I was doing my Coles shopping. So I was getting in that. It was just becoming a habit. And I'd go to the petrol station and buy a chocolate. I didn't even want it. It was just that habit of doing that. So what I found is, and I would definitely recommend it, and what I found is, and I did this with the alcohol as well, it broke that habit for me, and both with alcohol and chocolate. And chocolate's only been a week, but genuinely, I haven't stuffed my face. I haven't done anything. It's broke that. It's broke what I needed it to break, if that makes sense. It's broke that habit and that obsession. And I guess showing me that I don't need it. So every time I go to Coles or go to the petrol station, I don't need to grab a chocolate. And I've only been back on chocolate for a week, but I think I'm still in that. I keep forgetting that I can have it, but I'm really enjoying the moderation of it.
Yeah, and that's what that's the habit you've broken, that addiction of having too much when you didn't need it, or you did it probably to foster something else, so maybe a bit of stress in your life or boredom or whatever it was. It fills a gap, doesn't it? And that's what bad habits does. I'm really interested in hearing about your processes there in breaking these habits, because obviously you have some really great strategies you can share today with our listeners. In terms of what sort of strategies did you put in place to help break these habits?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's interesting because I am an all or nothing personality, I find it a genuinely easy to do all or to do nothing. So that's something that I've always been really good at doing. So a lot of people have always said, you've got like amazing willpower, I couldn't do what you do. But I feel it just comes naturally to me, being that like all or nothing personality. But I did say, both with alcohol and chocolate, the biggest thing is I was ready. Mm. And I don't feel that we do anything until we're really ready to do it. And so it took me a while to go off alcohol, because I wasn't quite ready. And do you know what? My body was ready, but my mind wasn't. So I did, with the alcohol, I listened to Alan Carr's book on audio, and I'm just trying to remember what it was. I think it was like The Easy Way to Give Up Alcohol, but it's Alan Carr, A-L-L-E-N-C-A-R-R. And I listened to that in the car, and it was a really good book. And so I did some prep work in terms of, I guess a lot of my stuff was before I gave it up. And then I was really, really ready to do it. So, and with alcohol, I didn't have any zero alcohol or anything like that. I moved to kombucha that was all I really did, some kombucha. And then with chocolate, didn't do that very well because I just replaced it with crisps. But I think the key is to really be ready. It's like that. I'll start my diet on Monday, and we keep breaking it because we're not fully ready to do it.
It's interesting you said that, because mindset is the be all and end all of everything, isn't it? And in terms of leveraging routines to replace bad habits is what it's all about, isn't it? And having that mindset to what do you do to disrupt that need to have coffee or to have chocolate or alcohol or, all those what we call addictions, really. So, and addictions come in different levels, varying levels, obviously. And it is something that we are getting more aware of now. So how do you promote that awareness to all your clients?
I'll answer that in a question, but I just wanted to say is, what, like, you're so right with addiction, Tracy, because that's what it is. And it's really difficult for us and the person who wants to give it up, because it is an addiction. Mm. So it's actually really not an easy thing to do, because like the sugar is addictive, the alcohol is addictive. And there's obviously, as you say, things behind that as well. There's a reason why we drink the alcohol, and there's a reason why we're reaching out for the sugar and chocolate. But it's an addiction, and it's a really hard thing to break. And I think getting help is really important. I actually don't often ask for help, and I should. I tend to be one of these people who I do all the thinking in my head, and then I just come out and say I'm taking a year off alcohol, and everyone's like, oh wow, I didn't see that coming. And it's like, yeah, I do all the processing in my head. But I think getting help is really important for people, and for me, putting it out there on Facebook was the accountability part for me, because I work well with accountability. But everyone's journey will be different as well. Some people will want to do it privately as well. And now I forgot your other question.
No, that's all right. Interesting conversations to have. And one of the things I found when I gave up smoking was I tried twice to give up smoking before I was successful. And on the second go, I tried the patches, and then I tried these dreadful tablets, and they made me absolutely violently ill. Nothing worked. And then I sat down and thought, what? I need to go cold turkey. It is the only way to give up something. But what is it that's stopping me from going cold turkey? And it was not just my mindset. There was a physical presence that I hadn't picked up because I, you know, was an early riser and I'd have my coffee in the morning, at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'd have my cigarette with her. And I allow myself to smoke. Oh, and I think back and horror of horrors inside my bedroom. You know, that was just the norm. And we're so used to the norm that we can't see outside the norm until all of a sudden we are literally outside it. And when I realized it was the coffee that was triggering me, I thought, if I drop that coffee at 4 a.m. in the morning, do I crave that cigarette? And as soon as I realized I didn't, it was just a marrying of the two. It was a really dirty, filthy, bad habit that the onus on me then was to go through the cold turkey of giving up coffee. And coffee was so hard because the smell was beautiful. Cigarette smell, even as a smoker, I hated. I didn't like. I absolutely abhor it now. I can't stand the smell of it or anyone near me with cigarettes. But that was something, and that beautiful aroma of a delicious coffee was stronger than the aroma of the cigarette. So when I broke that habit, which was something I had to do, literally go cold turkey on that, and what I needed to use was strategies like every time I smelt coffee, I told my brain, it's disgusting, it's awful, it's horrible, because it makes me smoke cigarettes. So I would tell my brain that. I just keep having that on this loop like a record, and it worked. It worked really well. So I could smell coffee and think, oh. If anyone said, like a coffee? No, but I'll have a cup of tea with sugar. But it was the coffee that was the trigger. Tea, nothing else triggered the cigarette smoking. So habits are something that we really do have to think about carefully. And sometimes I think that, and you probably agree, going cold turkey is probably the only way.
Yeah. I always say, and I love that you worked that out. And I guess, as I mentioned, there's a lot of work in the lead up to making the decision. And then you make the decision, hopefully when you're really ready to do that. So it's really good you do that. And that there's something that I say a lot, and it's not my saying at all, but it's like, pick your heart. So it's the heart of, like, for me, feeling crap until a Wednesday and being cranky and tired and all of that, or the heart of not having alcohol. And I use that a lot. My poor boys, they're like, oh, here she goes again.
But you know, you're helping the boys though, because you're teaching them that you're having a go, and that's building your resilience. And that is a really powerful lesson that you're helping all your clients and community tribe, as well as your own family, that you're setting that role model aspect for them to see, this is what happens when you do it, and this is the thinking behind it. And these are the conversations that are very powerful, Mandy, that a lot of people don't realise. So my husband's a smoker, and I don't think he'll ever stop smoking. And I keep saying to him, what would it take for you to stop smoking? And he said, I'd have to want it. And I said, so what would it take to want to stop smoking? And he'd say, I don't know. And so until that mindset changes, he will always be a smoker. And then, as I said to him, yeah, aren't you worried about not being alive when the grandkids are here, or you know, as they grow up, etc., sharing all that time? And that makes a cold turn, and he can hear that I'm saying that. But still, it's the pattern of thinking, and it's even now, it's more just a pattern of action, a behaviour that it's just done. I remember my sister and I actually decided to give up smoking at the same time, and I went, this is the final time, because we both had tried other things, and I went cold turkey. I made that decision because I'd cancelled the coffee. And then she took up ice. So she would chomp cubes of ice. And I'd sit there and I'd smile and I'd say, she'd have these great big bags of ice in the fridge. I said, what are you doing? What are you doing? She said, I've got to put something in my mouth. I've got to use my hands. I said, no, sit on them. Just sit on your hands. It only takes a few seconds, and then that wave will go past. So then she had to get rid of ice. But it was always great to have all that ice in the freezer when we were having some drinks together. But
funny.
It also, yeah, so it reminded me of the the habits, as you said, and how we disconnect. That's the powerful word here, disconnect with whatever it is that's forcing us to do that. So tell me more about your business. So you are you help people with a healthy, low tox and eco-friendly lifestyle. Tell me about the low tox.
I actually came into my low tox journey because I'm all about health, low tox living and eco-friendly. So I feel that it was health and then eco-friendly and low tox. And you said the word, and I think it might have been catapulted, but when I got my Kangen machine, that really catapulted my low tox journey. And I've actually never been, I don't like smells. No, I do love smells. I love coffee smells and I love like flowers and stuff like that, but never like a product smell. I've never been a big perfume person or like cleaning products or anything. It actually irritates me. So I knew that there was something in them that wasn't good. Yeah, it's not good for our body. And they're just like they're hormone disruptors. And we live in such a toxic world. Mm. And there's a lot of things that we can't avoid. So we walk out the door and we breathe toxins, like we eat them, we put them on our skin. And I'm we're just overloaded with toxins. We do have a natural detoxification process, our body does, but it actually needs a lot more help now because we're so overloaded in toxins. And a lot of that, we've touched on mindset a bit today, and that it's all about your mindset as well. You know, that can be very toxic to your body as well. So I do believe that we do need a lot of help around toxins, and I'm not completely like toxin free, but I've eliminated a lot of toxins and I'm just really heightened to it now, like just really aware of it now. So I'm always like reading labels or just being I'm not an obsessive crazy woman, but I am just really mindful of it because I just do think that anything that we can do to help our body, because our bodies are, sometimes I actually don't want to think about how incredible our bodies are, because it actually scares me a little bit. I don't know if that makes sense, but this body just keeps working for us every day, like all of our organs and everything. And I'm always really grateful for that. And any help that I can give my body, then I think it's really important to do that.
That's a good point. That's a powerful point, because our bodies, we put them through the mill, don't we, by forcing all this junk and crap and garbage into them and then expecting them to spit out this pristine, hard-working, machine, athletic body that we crave. And whilst we might go to yoga every morning, we'll sit there and drink wine every night. And it's that buffering all the time. So it's that the noise, changing the noise that we're hearing and the messages that we're hearing. I know, you know, I look at our own children and how they were brought up, because we lived out in the bush, so we had our own meat, we had our own vegetables, we had a lot of that sort of stuff, and they have become very healthy eaters and young people, whereas I still, but we lived in the generation where we drank, we partied hard and loved it, and we ate whatever we wanted to eat because we had that mentality that we burned it off so fast working. And that was okay. So that was, that was the excuse. It was okay. I get to this time in my life and I think, oh, if only I could do my life again. All the things I would just go delete and, upload. healthy living style.
So sorry to interrupt there. I always say, like, we don't know what we don't know.
Exactly.
Years ago, it was like, it's okay to smoke when you're pregnant. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. So I think it's like we don't know what we don't know.
That's right. And you're right there. I was going to ask you a question now about so you talked about strategies in terms of checking labels. And that's something I do a lot. I check labels. And especially when I think back, and it wasn't until I went to Egypt last year and I'm sitting in this really, really old country with so much history, ancient history, that it dawned on me really what civilization was doing back home compared to how they were living there. And it opened up my eyes in every way imaginable. Who would have thought going to Egypt, you know, speaking on an international stage, will have all this knock-on effects of something as simple as observing how they lived, how they ate, and the simplicity of things. When I came back, it was very simple for me because COVID had me locked down pretty tightly for a long time. And then I added on another couple of weeks because of my mum. She's very old and I didn't want any risk at all because COVID had, and there was outbreaks there in Egypt while I was there. So I was literally on the last plane home. And it was interesting because then I really became very, very aware of what was going on in my life and how I had to change it in every way across a lot of areas and for the better. And I felt that certainly was for the better. But observing some of their traditions and everything was very interesting. Mm. So do you have any quirky traditions or routines that you do that help you, you know, stay in this in the flow, so to speak?
I've touched a couple of times and I do actually feel really blessed that I'm a really naturally positive person. So, and I'm driven and I'm a doer and I like to get shit done. So I'm very lucky that I am driven that way. And I guess through my journey, I've realized that I am here to educate and inspire. And that all started with my eco-friendly journey. So that inspires me to do it more and just inspire other people and educate other people. Because as I said, we don't know what we don't know. So I'm happy to be that person to say, look, don't use this, or this is a better thing. And it's all just like research. I mean, for me, it's been just researching and just like diving in and just finding companies that I really want to align with. I align with another incredible company who all of their products are Australian brands, no toxins and all eco-friendly packaging. And that just like makes my heart smile so much. So I really align myself with companies like that who are really doing good in the world and who are making it easy for us so we don't have to go to just using Coles or like supermarket as an example and read the back of the labels and then you can't understand it and it's really confusing and they're using different names for different things. And one other thing that I do have actually is an app on my phone called Chemical Maze. And if I do ever have to look at any labels, I can jump on the app and it tells me what's like really bad, what's okay and what's good, which is really helpful at the beginning of any journey. But always one of my things would be help. Literally, I mean, isn't it great these days? You can literally just jump on Facebook, your own Facebook or in a group and say, hey guys, looking for low tox or no tox shampoo that's in eco-friendly packaging, and like boom 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 boom, like 20 comments and 20 recommendations. So we really are becoming more aware of it now, as you touched on before. So I believe it's becoming easier. And it's a necessity. I always say that living a low tox life and contributing to an eco-friendly planet, which is something I'm really passionate about, isn't for the hippies anymore. But it's a necessity for us and our generations and our grandchildren and our own children. It's an absolute necessity, both for our health. I'm always like, healthy people, healthy planet.
Exactly. That, you've wrapped it up in a nutshell. Healthy people, healthy planet. And I suppose that was the big eye-opener for me. The big aha moment when I was in Egypt was, you know, I'm living this beautiful country and I'm living this beautiful life. But, oh, boy, does it need some tweaks, and not just for me but everything around me. Now, the app, I'm interested in this app, so it's called Chemical Maze.
Chemical Maze.
Ah, right. And so you just go into that and you type in a product and it will have all the background of it.
Yeah, so it has like a red face, an orange face or a green face, and it just tells you everything about that particular ingredient. And it's really overwhelming. Like, it's the whole like toxins, and it's really overwhelming. There's a lot of products that actually have different names, a lot of toxins that have different names. So it's like, and there's a lot of greenwashing where it's like, you know, free of parabens and free of this and free of that, but then if you turn it over, there's other things in there. So it is mind-blowing. And this is why I really find companies who I guess, have done all of that work for me. And they only sell non-toxic products, which is great.
So that's interesting. I've never heard that term, greenwashing.
Yeah. So it does blow me away that they're like the bottled water like process is highly unregulated. There's like companies can put like a pretty green leaf on some packaging and can give you this name that you think, oh, that's great, that's perfect, and you just buy it, but it's actually not biodegradable. Or yes, it will biodegrade, but it will still take 300 years, or it'll only biodegrade in certain conditions and stuff like that. So there's a lot of, kind of greenwashing that goes on, which is really upsetting, but it is unfortunately the way that it is. So we really need to... there's a lot of products that do that. So it really is doing some research, do your research, or find a company that you can buy products from, and they're like literally legit, like no toxins, eco-friendly packaging.
That's fascinating, isn't it? It's a fascinating area, because being a hairdresser is one of my skills. Yeah, I look at those products very, very carefully, and I hear what you were saying, the greenwashing. They'll say, oh, no, no toxins. But, you know, obviously there has to be toxins in it if they're going to change the shaft of your hair, and there's going to be a chemical reaction there, as Albert Einstein always says. But we do know, luckily, that standards in Australia are very, very high, and so they're getting better and better and better and more rigid. But it was interesting when you said that there's not much regulation around the water, the bottled water. Yeah. So what is your research around that shown you then?
Yeah, bottled water. Where do I start? I'm not a massive fan of bottled water, both for our health and the health of our planet, and certainly from a planet point of view, there's a statistic, and this isn't just bottled water, this is all plastic bottles, but globally per minute we consume 1 million plastic bottles. So by the time we finish this call, there'll be 60 million plastic bottles out there in the world, and that just like really breaks my heart. And as I said, I work like a lot around replacing, so I like single-use plastic. I don't buy hand wash in bottles. I use soap. I don't buy shampoo bottles. I use a shampoo bar. I don't buy conditioner bottles. I don't buy like facial cleans. I use a lot of bars and stuff like that. So I really do work hard to eliminate my plastic bottles. And then from a health point of view, like a lot of people, and I get it, like we don't know what we don't know. When I drank bottled water for a long, long time, but the process is quite highly unregulated, and sometimes it is just the tap water. A lot of it is just tap water, and our tap water is contaminated. It's got chlorine in it. So it's and also with the plastic bottles, you've got like the chemicals leaching out of the plastic bottles into your water and in the plastic bottles. And you don't even know, like my thing is, you don't even know how long that water's been sitting there before it reaches you. It could be months. Be months before it absolutely gets to you. So yeah, not a massive plastic water bottle fan. Bottled water fan. That's for sure.
And that's a big statistic, isn't it? 60 million plastic bottles per hour worldwide.
And a lot of people think, and that's okay because we don't know what we don't know. That's okay because I can recycle it. But it's not always the case. It's actually said in Australia that only 1/3 of plastic bottles makes it to the recycling plant. Some of it doesn't, because it's on like left in landfill and oceans and on the ground and everything. And then the other bottles get rejected at the recycling plant, because plastic can only be recycled once or twice, whereas glass can be recycled infinitely. So exactly. I like a lot of people will say, oh, that's okay, look, I can recycle it, but it's recycling isn't the answer. Is the long and short of the conversation. Yeah.
So what have you found about the use of silicone?
Silicon cups.
I'm thinking of replacing, you know, the coffee cup, because we all know now that there is no such thing as recycled coffee cups. We know that now. Yeah. So what about some of the products that are out there? So if we're all bringing our own cup, that's a really good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But what about some of those products? Which would you recommend the best, like silicon products? Or?
Yeah, do you know what? And funny you say that, because I actually recently got, which I'm so in love with, a silicon baking mat. Mm. So it's so flexible, and like I'm just doing this because it's like so flexible, and it's pink, which is awesome. And so it's a silicon baking mat. So it's a reusable baking mat. So then you don't have to buy like reusable baking sheets,
yeah.
And because they're not eco-friendly, yeah, even though there's a lot of pretty green leaves on them and stuff. So this is like a reusable silicon baking mat, and you can put it in the dishwasher. No, I always say, yes, it is the dishwasher. Yeah. So when you want to clean it, just put it in the dishwasher. So easy to clean. And I made some sweet potato on it that for the second time last night. And I actually, I'm not like a great cook, or I'm sure there's a reason that this happens, but I actually find it was making my sweet potato in half the time that it normally would when I was putting it on like the single use baking sheets. I'm sure there's something to do with heat there. Not sure, but there's like half the oven time and no single use, throw it in the dishwasher, done. So yeah, so big fan of silicon.
It's interesting. I've got a lot of silicon products in the kitchen and obviously I make sure I even change my mugs often if I see them deteriorate in any way. And sometimes you buy those travel mugs that are metal and they get smelly, you know, you don't know what's inside the filters and whatnot, and the packing to cool them down. I know there's a word I'm missing here, but I've got a bit of a blank there. So, so insulation is what I was after, insulation. And so, you know, things like aluminium, for example. I was brought up, my father was a doctor, and he just would not allow any aluminium in the house at all. We were not allowed to have aluminium touch our lips, literally, in terms of anything. So he was very, very strict. That's going back, you know, a long time ago. We've got a bit of a repeat going on there. All right. So what we're going to do, Mandy, is I'd like you to tell me a little bit more about your journey and the challenges you've had as an entrepreneur.
Oh, great question. Challenges. So as an entrepreneur, it is, I always describe the journey as a roller coaster, and I can have every emotion possible just in one day, sometimes in half a day. But you know, I do believe that I know that everything that I've done previously over the years has led me to today. So I am a believer in we are where we are because we're supposed to be there. For me, a big challenge has been, I'm going to say, doing me, so being me. And I say that, do you know what, I was actually, in the industry that I'm in is network marketing. And Enagic is a direct sales company, so I guess part of the network marketing industry. And prior to that, I was a graphic designer. And when I was a graphic designer, I was actually really good at being me. I was really good because I knew that people came to me because they liked my style, and they went to someone else because they liked their style. And that made sense to me. Like, well, of course you would. Like, why would you come to me if you wanted someone else's style? So I was really good at being me in graphic design. But then I started, I joined network marketing. And at that time in 2014, it was like, kind of they had this thing, what was it, like not follow the leader, but success leaves clues, you know, that sort of stuff. So it was like, this is how we do it. So follow the steps and then you will have that same success. And I really struggled with that. And I remember distinctively one day saying to one of the girls on my team, oh my goodness, I have like this incredible idea. And I actually can't even remember what it was. And then I told her, and then she went, oh my God, Mandy, that is so good, but it's not what we do. And at that moment, it should have been that light bulb moment where I went, yeah, this is not for me, because I do like, I say I like to be myself, and it's really important to be yourself. But I continued for a few years of really following the steps that was allegedly going to get me to where everyone else was. And it wasn't until like literally like a couple of years ago that I just thought, you know what, I need to be me, do me, because that's what people buy. You are your business. You are the unique in your business. So people buy from you because they know, like, and trust you, but they also align with you or resonate with you. So my clients will be mums, families, people who are on a low-tox journey and an eco-friendly journey and like the way that I do and present things. So I guess to answer that question, it would definitely be the longer journey that I took to realize that I needed to be me.
That identity is a big thing, a big area, isn't it? And I'm pleased that you brought that up, because it is a journey, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're fashioned around, you know, this wealth of knowledge and influence we've had our whole entire lives, and then you've got the pressure of your parents bringing us up with the way they were brought up, and likewise we do the same, and then you've got lots of influences there that want you to conform, you know, even or have conditions around something as basic as love, which is not basic at all. But, you know, there's always a condition. You've got to do this, or you've got to be that, or you've got to do that, or act in that way. And a lot of people get absolutely transformed like that, and they think that's the only way to be, and that's who they are. And it's interesting that you brought that up, because what you're saying is correct. You have to be who you are to be at your happiest, don't you, before you can move forward.
Yeah, I love that. And I love even what you said about love as well. This is a whole conversation in itself, isn't it?
It is.
Definitely. Yeah.
It certainly is. And, conditional love is a powerful one, and it's something, you know, I reflect on all the time. And our daughter's getting married, and she said, oh, Mum, you know, would you mind if we did this or this? And I said, Belinda, it's your wedding, not mine. You do whatever you want to do. You don't come and ask me, but thank you anyway for including me. But surprise me, you know, intrigue me, make me curious. Let me have the fun of the day, because I want to live in that present. And I said, my expectations are that you both are the happiest you can be on your wedding journey. It's not my journey. I've had mine, and I don't intend to ever repeat it again. And that's what made me start thinking, hearing myself saying that all the time. I thought, there's always conditions around everything, isn't it? You know, I worked in a job where the conditions were, they actually were so corrupt in their policies that they prevented each and every person, massive organization, prevented each and every person from having their actual rights restored. And so even went as far as under the Public Service Act that you had lost your right to, you know, to privacy. You'd lost your rights as a citizen, and therefore there's this great big problem in the Public Service Act in Queensland, and it was allowing corruption to come in, and they changed it in the very last parliamentary session before elections last year, which was good. There's still a lot more change to happen. So when you're brought up and you're manipulated so much constantly, we think it's normal, don't we, this conditional love. And it's conditional everything, isn't it? Product conditioning.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And as I said, that could be another conversation. But I love what you did with your daughter's wedding. I think that is such a beautiful, beautiful thing to do, really beautiful. And actually, when we got married, my husband and I, we paid for our wedding, and I started telling, and we had a beautiful small wedding, and I started telling people what we were doing for our wedding, and I was just getting opinions and opinions and opinions. I was like, wow. Like, and then I stopped and I said, I'm not going to tell you anything. Just turn up on the day, and as you say, have a surprise. Yeah.
Yeah. It's powerful, isn't it? I know, you know, my parents gave me a beautiful sum of money to, you know, to pay for our wedding, and we paid for a lot of ours too. And I've done likewise for our children, you know, give them a sum, obviously, because it comes from love. And I said to them, it's not, there's no condition to it. I said, if you want to have a courthouse wedding and go and use that money to go for a holiday together, so be it. Not going to worry me. It's your wedding. And manipulating, as we know in life, we are so manipulated, aren't we, by the media and products. So
yeah.
Looks like we're going to be wrapping up very shortly, my dear. So how about you tell us where our listeners can find you?
Awesome. Thank you. Well, my name is Mandy Spooner. Very easy. And so my Instagram handle, I spend a lot of time on Instagram. And my Instagram handle is Mandy, M-A-N-D-Y underscore Spooner, S-P-O-O-N-E-R. And then I have a website as well, which is mandyspooner.com. So keep it simple, keep it easy. So it's my name, Mandy Spooner.
Lovely to have you with us today, Mandy, and thank you so much for coming and joining us and sharing your knowledge. And I think it'd be a great opportunity for everyone to follow Mandy either on Instagram and pop into her website. So that's mandyspooner.com and Mandy underscore Spooner on Instagram. It's wonderful that you've been able to share that information. So for our listeners today, thank you for listening to another very inspiring 60 Minutes on Tracy Tully Talks, and have a beautiful weekend. We'll catch you next week. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to another 60 Minutes of inspiring talking points on Tracy Tully Talks, brought to you by bbsradio.com. Tune in every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Australian time, AEST, and 5 p.m. PT time in America. Leave me a message on my website at www.bbsradio.com/Tracy Tully Talks. If you're interested in lifting the profile, presence, and profit of your business, sponsorship opportunities are available. Until next Thursday, it's goodbye from me.